Let's come before God's word together this morning. If you've got a Bible, it will be helpful to turn to John chapter 12 and the passage that Jacob read to us earlier, particularly looking at verse 46 this morning. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. A few years ago, we had the opportunity of visiting something called the Big Pit in South Wales. I don't know if anyone's been there. It's the biggest and oldest large-scale industrial coal mining development in South Wales, with workings going back to 1810. You can go down 300 feet underground in a big cage, as the miners would have done years ago. They give you your headlight lamps. Before you go down, you have to take off your watch, your phone, any cameras, anything electronic has to be put into a box up the top, because they can't have any sparks down there, because potentially a spark and the whole thing could blow up if there's some gas around. Great trip, highly recommended if you're ever in South Wales. It's free as well, which is good. So you go down, right down to the bottom of this mine, 300 feet deep, with your head torch on, and then the guide says, "We would like you all to turn your head torch off." Literally, you can put your hand in front of your face and you cannot see anything. It is the pitchest, deepest, darkest darkness that I have ever seen. The guide then spends about 10 minutes telling you stories of old, some of which get quite scary. And then he gets a lighter and does that. One candle power, and suddenly you can see. One candle power, suddenly you can see. The kids stop whimpering. The adults stop trying to panic and work out whose hand they're actually holding. And we could see, one candle, one light, one match, provided light for the 20 or 30 of us that were down there. At the other end of the scale, those of you who came to our fireworks earlier this month, 100 or so people milling around in the darkness, tripping over things. I thought this year I'd buy a light, so I bought this light this year, which is a million candle power. Now that's powerful. In this light it's not particularly, but that was powerful. So people were needing to know where to go, you could direct them with this light. They're both forms of light, one candle power, a million candle power. Both enabling us to see. And light is something that Jesus knew everyone can relate to. Everyone can relate to light and everyone can relate to darkness. There's this cycle of life, isn't there? Every day it gets dark. Every day it gets light. But to move from the darkness to the light, either at the fireworks or down the coal mine, we had to turn the switch. We had to do something to move from the darkness to the light. We could have looked at the torch, we could have looked at the lighter, but until we turned it on, it really wasn't going to give us any light at all. Now, children don't like going often into a dark room, do they? They like the light on. I can talk about it all evening, but until I put the light on, it will still be dark. Shortly, some of you have probably already done it, you'll be decorating your houses with Christmas trees and lights and putting stuff up all over the place. Well, those lights are not going to be doing anything until you switch it on, until you flick that switch. The tree is dark and gloomy until you actually flick that switch. Well, this morning we're looking at, where is your life? Where is my life? Is it in light or is it in darkness? And if it is in darkness, do you know how to move from the darkness to the light. Jesus says there in verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Someone's once said, the dark things in the Bible are spoken for the sake of light. The ugly things are spoken for the sake of beauty. The painful things are spoken for the sake of comfort. The sorrowful things are spoken for the sake of joy. And conflict is pictured for the sake of peace. Talking about darkness is sometimes hard. It's sometimes difficult. But actually, it's also needed, because then you have the contrast to the light. So this morning we're going to look at three areas: the darkness, the light, and I'm calling it the switch. How do you move from the darkness to the light? So, the darkness. Well, we're here right at the end of Jesus' ministry. So last week we were looking at, in Luke, about Jesus asking who I am, just before he left and was heading to Jerusalem for those last few days of his life. And John is asking people to ponder the darkness of unbelief which engulfs the people. Read earlier in our passage. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. Last week, we were looking at people describing Jesus as the prophet, another Elijah, a great man. But actually, they were missing the point, weren't they? And Peter got it, because he said, no, he is Christ the Messiah. And here, people hadn't got it. He'd been doing miracles, amazing things, but they did not believe him. Tragic, tragic words here. John has seen Jesus facing the stubborn misunderstanding and angry rejection of the very ones who should have accepted him at every turn. But he knew that was going to happen. Right back at the beginning of John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So Jesus was always going to be rejected. This world is a dark place. You've only got to open your newspaper or turn on the television or look on your tablet or your phone, and you have darkness everywhere. There's a lot of bad stuff happening and bad people around. And it started dark in Genesis chapter 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. But God doesn't want us to remain in darkness. In chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The world is a dark place. What was the ninth plague in Egypt in Exodus chapter 10? So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. The world's a dark place. God's curses for disobedience to the Jews when they disobeyed in Deuteronomy. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness. There is darkness all around us. Even in Proverbs we read, those who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. And yet this morning, that's all of us. Unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you are in darkness this morning. We do a lot of safeguarding work with the charity I work with in Ipswich. And one of the things we look at is the whole how you identify people who are a threat. And it's interesting that the predators, the child groomers, are not usually the dirty old men in Macs with thick glasses. They're often the nicest, the kindest, most helpful, most friendly, most eager to help people. They are the unexpected ones. The ones you'd never suspect are the abusers. The football coach we've heard about this week. Likewise, those in darkness are not always the tyrants, the killers, the abusers, the thieves. It's all of us before we're saved. Please don't be deceived this morning into thinking that it's only really bad people who are in darkness. Today, each of us in this room is in darkness or we're in light. There's no grey bit in the middle. That torch is either on or off. This morning, are you in the light, or are you in the darkness? Do you know Jesus is your Savior, or don't you? However good we are, this is what God thinks of our good deeds. From Isaiah chapter 64, and I'm reading out the Message because I think it's quite a contemporary way of listening to it. We are all sin-infected, sin-contaminated. Our best efforts are grease-stained rags. We dry up like autumn leaves, sin-dried. We're blown off by the wind. But the story doesn't end there. Recognize this morning that you were in darkness, but we have the light. And how encouraging is this? I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I come to give light to those who sit in darkness. So let's go on to the light then. So Jesus has come into the world as light. What a wonderful contrast that is. We've got the darkness, and then we've got the light coming through Jesus. C.S. Lewis, who many of you will know, or have heard of or read, said, "Sometimes our light goes out, but is blown into flame by another human being. Each of us owes deepest thanks to those who've rekindled this light." You know what it's like when perhaps you can feel a bit down or a bit, sort of everything's a bit heavy, and then somebody just breathes light into you. Someone says something encouraging. Light is such an uplifting thing. Well, there's so much more than just rekindling our own light and spark here. Here we've got the divine light. And we're told to let that light shine. As Moody says, we're told to let our light shine. And if it does, we won't need to tell anyone it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. And how encouraging is that as Christians this morning? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, be a lighthouse. Shine. Let your light shine. You don't need to fire cannons. Let your light shine. But some people don't want to put the light on. I can have the most powerful torch or light, but if I put on a blindfold, it will be of no use. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." So we've got people here who know there's a light there, but the God of this world, i.e. the devil, has blinded their minds so they cannot see the light of the gospel. Well, are we blinded this morning to this light? Jesus is the light, but we need to head to it. We need to come to the light this morning. A few years ago, we went in a narrow boat in up north somewhere, and we were going in a tunnel that was 2 miles long. That's a long tunnel when you're in a boat, and that's pretty dark in the tunnel. You go into the tunnel, and very quickly, you look back, and it's getting a bit murky, the back, and you can just vaguely see in the front the light at the end of the tunnel, sort of a mile and a half away from you. Now, unless we headed to that light, we were going to stay in darkness. We needed to come to the light, to get out of the tunnel and back into the daylight. Maybe that light was distant and faint, but it's there. And maybe in your lives this morning, maybe in your own life, you're thinking, well, Jesus is a long way away at the moment, but he is there. And if the light is distant, head towards it. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light. And that's the big idea this morning for each of us. Let's come to the light. Are we prepared to come to the light? To come and fall at Jesus' feet. So, what is this light? What are the properties of light? Well, just looking up what light is, the properties of light, that it travels in straight lines, it's a form of energy, it has the ability to be reflected, it's a natural agent that inspires sight and makes things visible. And actually, that all transposes over to our Lord and Saviour. It travels in straight lines. Well, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." It's a form of energy. Well, in Acts 26, I've come to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power, the energy of God. What else is it? It's natural and inspired sight. In their case, in 2 Corinthians, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. It inspires sight. It's natural. And it makes things visible. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Everyone who received Jesus moves from the darkness of ignorance to the light of truth and the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness," read in Samuel. So how do we move? We looked at the darkness, we've looked at the light. How do we move from the darkness to the light? This is our third and final point here this morning. Well, it's all about what I call the switch. How do we make that switch to go from darkness to light? It's back to our passage this morning. In verse 46, "I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." To believe, it is as simple as that. C.S. Lewis again. He said, "You never really know how much you believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death." It's easy to say you believe in a rope to be strong, as long as you're just merely using it to tie up a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a cliff. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? It's very simple. The beauty of our faith, simply believe it. That is the switch. Simply believe. Moody, great evangelist, said, "Believing things on authority only means believing them because you've been told them by someone you think is trustworthy. 99% of the things you believe are believed on authority. I believe," he says, "there is such a place as New York. I could not prove it by abstract reasoning. I believe it because reliable people have told me so." The ordinary person believes in the solar system, atoms, and the circulation of the blood on authority because the scientists say so. Every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us ever saw the Norman Conquest. None of us saw the defeat of the Spanish Armada. But we believe them simply because the people who did see them left writings that tell us about them. In fact, on authority. A person who is against authority in other things, as some people do in religion, would have to be content to know nothing all of his life. It is as simple as believing. And we believe because the Bible says. What do you believe in today? What do I believe in today? To move from one to the other requires us to throw that switch and say, "I believe." And believing leads to saving. Jesus came to save the world. In our passage, "I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." He came to save you. And he came to save me. In Isaiah we read, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." If you've never thrown that switch this morning, then please do so. Move from the darkness to the light. And if you're a Christian here this morning and the light is weak and the light's long way down that tunnel, then come to the light. Head to the light. "I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." I'm just going to close with an illustration here, which I think is a really powerful way of just helping us to reflect on stepping out into the light. A few years ago, the winter sun shone on the Norwegian town of Rjukan for the first ever time. The inhabitants' lives there have been transformed. A local engineer could do many things, but he couldn't change the elevation of the sun. Deep in its east-west valley, surrounded by high mountains, Rjukan and its 3,500 inhabitants are in shadow for half the year. During the day, from late September to mid-March, the town, 3 hours northwest of Oslo, is almost dark. High on the mountain opposite, 450 meters above the town, three large, solar-powered, computer-controlled mirrors steadily track the movement of the sun across the sky, reflecting its rays down onto the square and bathing it in bright sunlight. Rjukin, or at least a small but vital part of Rjukin, the town square, is no longer stuck where the sun does not shine. It has the sun there. It's the light, grins Ingrid Spargo, disbelievingly lifting her face to the light and closing her eyes against the glare. A retired secretary, Spargo has lived all her life in Rjukin and says people do sort of get used to the dark. You end up not thinking about it really, but this is so warming. Not just physically, but mentally. It's mentally warming. Look at this, she says, almost beside herself. Who'd have thought it? I've stepped out to get into the light. Well, let me ask you this morning. Where are you? Are you in the dark? Are you, like Spargo there, sort of used to it? Are you familiar with the grey, drab, dull darkness of life with no hope for eternity? Or are you prepared to do something about it? To do as Ingrid Spargo did and step out into the light. To appreciate the wonder, the joy, and the experience of living with Jesus as your light, your salvation, your hope, your confidence, and your guiding light. Today, my friends, you have a crisis of decision. To switch or not, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Amen.